Hallelujah. You're all welcome in Jesus' name. This is our School of the Spirit service. We also welcome all those who may be watching us live now on the internet or watching some recorded version of this service. You're welcome in Jesus' name. And you too will be greater in God than you are right now by the time you finish this time of fellowship with us through the ministry of the Word and of the Spirit. Hallelujah. There's our School of the Spirit. We also call it the School of Perfection. We're teaching on Christian perfection because in the timetable of God, this is what is imminent. The Bible teaches us that the church must grow into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, manifesting the same glory the Lord Jesus Christ manifested when he was on the earth. And it's going to be the answer to the present gross darkness, distress, gross and moral darkness that covers the nations, the distress that the nations are going in through now. The Bible tells us that the whole creation is groaning and travailing, and that groaning and travailing will ultimately produce the manifestation of the sons of God in the church. For God, the Holy Spirit, is transmitting the same pain that the world is feeling, transmitting to the church. And as the church herself begins to pray and travail like we're doing, the glory of God will then be manifest. And those manifested sons of God will now deliver creation to the glorious liberty of the sons of God. This is imminent. This is what the Lord is doing. And it is vital for us as Christians to have an understanding, like it says, the prophetic ministry, the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times and what, and not only what, but incidentally also how Israel ought to do, what the church needs to do and how to do it. And so this is the essence of these teachings and these meetings that we're having. And so tonight, Pastor Abraham is going to bring us a word. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much, ma'am. Let us pray. Father, we're grateful for your great love, and in our midst, by your Spirit and by your Word, accept our thanks in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, as we gather for your Word tonight, and for the move of your Spirit, oh, to continue to perfect that good work that you have begun in us, we are praying for open heavens. We are praying for the visions of God. We are praying for your Word to come expressly. We are praying that your hand will be stretched forth to rest upon us, to confirm your Word with signs and wonders following, that we all be changed for having appeared before you. Father, we thank you. Father, I ask for mercy for myself as I come to deliver this word which I believe you have given me. That, Lord, you will help me to be faithful to your mercy. You'll be with my heart, you'll be with my mouth. Help me to speak, oh, precisely and concisely the things you have me speak, the way you have me speak it. So that, Lord, you will confirm, clarify, and amplify your word and your counsel which you have been speaking to us, so that we can press in into these deeper things of our God. We appreciate you, O God. I'm also praying, O God, for everybody that will be receiving this word either directly here or through the ministry of the internet and whatever media, that, Lord, you grant us open hearts to receive these words, not as words of a man, but as words coming from you, so that, Lord, it may work effectually in us and cause us to be more conformed to this glorious image of our Lord Jesus Christ. We bless your name, Father. Thank you as you cause your power to go with these words, oh Lord, to meet us at the point of our need, to empower us to be doers of this word, to walk in the fullness of it, that will be built up by this same word and granted our inheritance among the saints. We love you, Father. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. Be glorified in our midst. In Jesus' name. praise the Lord. Let me start by first of all appreciating our parents in the Lord, Pastor, our daddy. Amen. We appreciate you, sir. And mommy, we appreciate you. God is helping us to really see who you are in the spirit, and is helping us to understand that a vast majority of what we are enjoying is because of you, and we appreciate it. Amen. Tonight, God has given me a word. Let's read the scripture as we go into that word. I believe we will all be profited by this word. Prof. Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. We are reading from verse 50. That law, how? In his heart and in his mouth. He kept it day and night, once every 6 hours, at every opportunity. Amen. And God, because he forgot not the law of his God, God too made him to forget all his toys. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's move on to Ephraim. We have learned that's Manasseh's experience of Joseph, and we know how he came back. Job tells us how it came to pass. So there's steps we can follow to enjoy Manasseh's experience that Joseph experienced. Ephraim. Ephraim means what? Fruitful. In that verse 52, said, for God has made me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Amen. Amen. God has made me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Let's read Genesis chapter 49, verse 22. And to 24. He wants to give us an insight onto what brought about that fruitfulness that God made Joseph to be fruitful. His fruitfulness was outstanding. It was outstanding. Yes. Amen. He was so fruitful that he was not only the only one blessed. Pharaoh was blessed. The whole household of Pharaoh was blessed. His senators and his princes were blessed. The whole house of Egypt was blessed. Jacob was blessed. The whole world was blessed. His fruitfulness was outstanding. God made him to be fruitful. Manasseh, that's an experience that God has for us in this. Ephraim is an experience that God has for us in this appointed time. Amen. As we inherit the glory. Amen. Now, Genesis chapter 42. It said, Joseph... 49 verse 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough. Can we hear it together? Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. Verse 23, the archers have sorely gripped him and shot at him and hated him. Verse 24, but his bough abounded in strength. His arms were made strong by the hand of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Amen. What was the secret of the fruitfulness of Joseph? A fruitful bough by a well. A fruitful bough by a well. Someone. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man. Amen. Joseph actually personalized that psalm. Let's read Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's how Joseph operated in Egypt. Not stand in the way of sinners. Pastor told us it was in a hidden culture. Yet he kept himself pure by the word of God in his heart and his mouth. He stood not in the way of sinners. He sit in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2. But his delight was in the law of the Lord. That was his delight. Yes. And in the law of the Lord, does he meditate day and night? Amen. He will say to himself, meditation. Amen. And so he was established. It shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, and its leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever it does shall prosper. Amen. So in his season, when the season came that the world tried him, the fruit. Amen. He brought the fruit in the season. And the fruitfulness. Amen. Change his life, change Egypt, change his father's house, and change the whole nations of the earth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ephraim, fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. Why was Joseph made fruitful? Amen. Isaiah 51, 1 to 4. Amen. Even though Joseph was not physically connected to his father, he kept the instruction of his father from the one in Egypt until when God sent and loosed him. Amen. That was the secret of why God. Let's look at it. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. That's what Joseph followed after. Ye that seek the Lord. That was what Joseph was seeking in Egypt. You know, when that woman came, it was God that came out of his mouth first. How shall I do this and sin against my God? Joseph was not looking for anything other than God. Look unto the rock where you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit where you are digged. Joseph remembered his father. He remembered what his father taught him. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and the plan and purpose of God of Isaac. And he kept faith by keeping that law in his heart and all that. Verse 2. He said, look unto Abraham your father, and to Sarah that bear you. I called him alone, and blessed him and increased him. Amen. So we are seeing the secret of Joseph now. Why God made him fruitful. Verse 3. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all our waste places. He will make our wilderness like Eden. That's Ephraim. Amen. His desert like the garden of the Lord. That's fruitfulness. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and voice of melody. Amen. Why? He kept link with the fathers. He kept instructions of the fathers. Amen. His father was not there. But the instruction of his father was with him. And as long as he kept that instruction, God was with him. And God made all that he did to prosper. In the house of Potiphar, in the prison, amen, and in Pharaoh's court, he prospered. All round. So the fruitfulness started even in Potiphar's house. It's only that it wasn't outstanding then. Yeah. But it was growing. Yeah. Hello? It was growing. It was growing. Amen. Amen. The archers shot at him, Potiphar's wife. But his bow about in strength. Amen. Amen. He kept that law. Even though he was in prison for the wrong reason, even though his feet was in iron and he was in captivity, he was still fruitful in prison. He kept it, even in prison. And it was that fruitfulness that actually brought him out. Amen. Praise the Lord. We see part of the fruitfulness when he started interpreting dreams. You can't have that kind of wisdom if you are not being fruitful in the spirit. Like Pastor has told us, with the Lord is wisdom. So Joseph was fruitful in the spirit. Now, because he was not looking at the spiritual, do you understand what I mean? He didn't count that as fruitfulness. Yet that is the foundation of all fruitfulness. Every other fruitfulness is built on the fruitfulness in the spirit. Amen. And when the fruitfulness in the spirit was settled, established, God said, okay, let's lose him now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Good. So, Manasseh and Ephraim represent the experience of Joseph and represent our own experience as present Joseph as we keep the law of our God in our heart. Amen. And we keep the instructions of the Father and the God, even when the fathers are not there. Thank you, sir. When they're not there. Amen. Okay, let's go to Genesis chapter 48. We want to look further on Ephraim and Manasseh. Genesis chapter 48. Amen. There are so many things to read there. We'll just read the ones that are succinct, and so that we can quickly go on. Genesis chapter 48. Let's start with verse 1. 48 verse 1. And it came to pass after this thing that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Let me ask you a question. His father is sick. And he took his two sons. That means Joseph recognized where the flow was coming from. He recognized where the blessings, the generational blessing was coming from. It's coming from this man, Israel. I may be the head in Egypt. I may be the prime minister, but the real blessing is coming from this man. Amen. The real blessing, what is making it to happen in my life, is coming from this man. I may be a prime minister now. The whole world may be celebrating me. But it's this man that I hold it to. That's the rock from which I was hewed. And the blessing of God is in the hand of this man. So he took his two sons. Baba is sick. Before he goes, let us pass this blessing upon these children. Amen. Amen. Verse 2. And one told Jacob, behold, thy son is Joseph is come to thee. And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. Let's go on. So many things we can say, but one to, amen. Verse 3. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. Let's go on. And said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply, and I will make thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. Number 5. Now, let's read this. This is very crucial. Yes. And now, thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Did you take note that Jacob did something there? Did you take note? It was Manasseh and Ephraim. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, before I came into Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. Let me tell you what has happened there. Amen. That's an upgrade. Someone say upgrade. Someone say upgrade. Now, Ephraim and Manasseh are now stepping out of the to become sons. From grandsons to sons. So they are going to be like Reuben and Simeon and all the other sons of Jacob. So they are going to share the inheritance alike. They were grandsons. So they are not in colleagues of other grandsons again. They are now fathers to all other grandsons. Somebody say upgrades. Amen. We are in the season of. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, could Joseph have done that for his sons? He doesn't have the power. Only the fathers. Only Israel. That blessing, that capacity is only in the hand and the mouth of Israel. That was why Joseph took them there. Amen. Remember the title? Joseph, Manasseh, and Ephraim. But look at something there. There's something that I need to show you. He changed the order. Now there are two sons. He said Ephraim and Manasseh. Apart from the upgrade, he has also done something. He has changed an order. He has set Ephraim before Manasseh. Why? We'll see that later. Amen. God will help us to know. Amen. Now, listen. Ephraim and Manasseh were blessed. They were elevated and upgraded by Jacob. Why? Because of Joseph's faithfulness. What did Ephraim do? What did Manasseh do? They don't qualify for it. It's not their works. A 1,000 years of their works cannot get it. It came because of their father, Joseph, and his faithfulness to God, his faithfulness to Israel, and his faithfulness to his brethren.
Say it again. Three things. Four things.
Amen.
Faithfulness to God.
Faithfulness to his father Israel, and faithfulness to his brethren, his brothers. So our children, listen. Our children will be blessed based on our faithfulness to our God, to our fathers in the Lord, and to our brethren in the Lord. Can I hear you say there is hope for our children? There shall be upgrade in their lives. Amen. 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 So what's the principle? We are blessed for our Father's sake. If you miss that principle, you will struggle and you won't be able to attain unto it. Amen. We are blessed for our... So where does our work come in? This one is not by works. It's by grace. That the promise may be sure to all the seed. Amen. Amen. So the principle is that we are blessed for our Father's sake. Amen. Why? Where's the place for our works? God is not asking for our works now. Amen. It's by grace. Through faith. So that this promise and blessing can be sure to all the seed. Romans chapter 4 verse 16. Pastor has told us that. Amen. Praise the Lord. So generational blessings will flow because of our fathers. We see that in Abraham and Levi. Amen. We see that in Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was blessed because of Jonathan.
Yeah.
Do you know what happened? Yeah. The Gibeonite has for the head of the sons of Saul.
Yes.
But David kept Mephibosheth aside.
Yeah.
Blessed for his father's sake.
Yeah.
Was he not his son? He gave them 7 sons.
Yeah.
But he kept... Who was the son of Jonathan? For Jonathan's sake. David said, is there nobody in the house of Saul that I may blessed for Jonathan's sake? Someone say, we are blessed for our father's sake. Solomon was blessed because of David. That wisdom was given to Solomon because of David.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. God told him, say, if you walk before me like your father David walked, then you will abide with me and the kingdom will be established. Because God has promised David by a covenant, there shall not be one thing for a seed to sit upon this throne forever. Amen. It wasn't because of Solomon.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Oh, someone say blessed. For our father's sake. Amen. That's why Israel is still blessed today.
Yes.
That's why Britain is still blessed today.
Yes.
Pastor told us, John Wesley.
Yes.
Amen.
Germany.
That's why Germany is still blessed today. Martin Luther.
America.
Because of the founding fathers. That's why I can guarantee that Nigeria will be blessed.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
For our father's sake. There is a remnant. There is a Zion. In the midst of Nigeria. Amen. That will guarantee the blessing of Nigeria. Hallelujah. Amen. So, principle, we are blessed for our Father's sake. Amen. Amen. Okay. Okay. There are certain things I want to say now. I just want you to follow me. Yes. Listen, yes, we are blessed for our Father's sake. Our seed are blessed for our Father's sake and for our own sake. But we too must know the God of our fathers. And we must obey and serve Him with a willing heart and with a perfect heart so that that blessing can abide and abound.
Say it again.
Okay. Yes, we are blessed for the Father's sake. Our children are blessed for our sake, our faithfulness to God. But we too, the children of the fathers and our children, we must know the God of our fathers. And obey and serve Him with a willing heart, with a perfect heart, so that the blessing can abide and abound. Amen. Joseph was not the only son that Jacob had. Why didn't the blessing show in the lives of others? Because they did not press in to know the God of their fathers like Joseph did. Amen. Amen. Let's see the scripture that established that. 1 Chronicles 28:9. That's what David told Solomon. But sadly, Solomon didn't do it. And he lost the blessing that, he lost the throne. He lost the kingdom. And the only reason why God left two was because of David.
Yes.
So that I can keep His covenant with David. The whole problem that we are seeing in Israel today was because of that sin of Solomon. And thou Solomon, my son.
And thou Solomon, my son.
Let's read. And thou Solomon, my son. Know thou the God of thy father and serve Him with a perfect heart, with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek Him, He will be found of you. And if thou forsake Him, He will cast thee off forever. The goodness and the severity of God. When the psalmist was saying it, he said, if your children forsake my law, we will not cry over our children. He said, if your children forsake my law, I will visit them with transgression.
With the rod.
Amen. Psalm 89, something like that. I will chastise them. But if their children forsake my law and walk not in my judgment, yes. If they break my statute and keep not my commandments, yes. Then I will visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with strife, yes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will now not utterly take away from Him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Again, because of the fathers. Because He will not lie to David. Amen. Amen. So, what's the point here? We must know the God of our fathers too. Amen. Even though the blessing will come without our works. Do you understand? But for the blessing to abide and to abound, and for us not to lose it or frustrate it, we must do what? Know the God of our fathers too. Amen. Okay, let's now, amen. Let's look at Genesis verse 12 to 14. Want to see Ephraim and Manasseh again? Ephraim and Manasseh, we are 48 verse 12 to 14. If you can give me an amplified Bible, I will appreciate it. I hope you have the normal amplified. Anyway, whichever one you have. Amen. Then Joseph took the boys from his father's embrace and bowed before him with his face to the earth. Verse 13. Respect, honor for the father.
Prime minister.
And Joseph took the boys from his father's embrace and he bowed before him with his face to the earth. 13. And Joseph took both boys, Ephraim with his right hand and Manasseh with his left hand, towards Israel's right and brought them close. Verse 14. And Israel reached out his right hand and laid it on the hand of Ephraim, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, crossing his hand intentionally. For Manasseh was the firstborn. Now, remember that with the words of his mouth, he has already said it. Amen. Praise the Lord. But Joseph didn't pick it. I will show you why. Because, thank you, sir. Amen. Amen. Why did Jacob cross his hand? Because God told him to. He may not understand why. Because, like mommy said, emotions. Who wants to relegate the firstborn? But there was no relegation there. When we are looking at you, find that there was no relegation there. God was just setting in order something that Joseph did not set in order at the beginning. He crossed his hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. And placed the right hand on Ephraim and the left on. Amen. Before I explain why he did that, the crossing of the hand represents the cross of Christ. Amen. Hello. Amen. So, in Christ Jesus, God has crossed his hand over our lives.
Amen.
Bringing grace, listen, bringing grace into our lives so that we can be fruitful, Ephraim,
amen,
and forget our toys, Manasseh.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So the experience of Ephraim and Manasseh is available to all the seed now. It's by grace through the cross of Christ.
Amen.
I said the cross represents the cross of Christ.
Yes.
So, amen. God the Father has crossed his hands over our lives in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So that everybody that believes in Jesus Christ now and his cross can now experience Ephraim and Manasseh. Fruitfulness and forgetting of all our toys.
Amen. He that can receive it, let him receive
it. It's by grace, through faith, that this promise might be sure to all the seed. Amen. Let's now come to Joseph. Thank you. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Amen. Amen. Now, in the case of Ephraim and Manasseh, I want you to hear what I want to say. I'm submitting to the fathers anyway. Praise the Lord. I believe that at the time that God was giving names to Joseph, the name Ephraim was given to him to be given to the firstborn. And the name Manasseh was given to him to be given to the secondborn. But he missed it. I will explain. How did I know that? When Israel, Jacob set Ephraim before Manasseh, he was saying that fruitfulness always comes so that you can forget your toil. You don't forget your toil so that you can get fruitfulness. It's the fruitfulness that makes you forget your toil. Now, Joseph missed it, but God must correct it for posterity to come. So that we won't be looking for forgetting all our toys, we'll be looking for fruitfulness. Then forgetting our thoughts will come along. Hallelujah. Amen. It was not about the son Manasseh. It was not about the son Ephraim. It was about a principle that God must establish in the realm of the spirit so that we may not miss it. So that we may know the thing that is actually important. Fruits. Amen. Now, for you to know, Joseph did not even consider his spiritual fruitfulness as important. It was the fruitfulness that he had when he was exalted that he considered important. But the fruitfulness that he had came because of the spiritual fruitfulness. Throughout in prison, in slavery, he was growing in fruit. It was the growth in fruit that was making God to be with him. Do you understand? So when he went to prison, he should have been bittered. What did I do? My brother sold me. What did I do for Potiphar's wife? Potiphar didn't even consider he sent me to prison. Upon all that I did for him, he wasn't bitter. He was growing in fruit. Yeah. Amen. He kept growing in fruits. And when the fruit got to a stage where it was full stature, amen, the king sent and loosed him.
Amen.
Now you are ready to carry all the other fruitfulness because you now have a foundation that can handle. So all the material fruitfulness, the fruitfulness we see in Egypt that is visible to all, was resting upon the foundation of that spiritual fruitfulness. So spiritual upgrade first, then every other upgrade will follow. So God, through Jacob, amen, set fruitfulness before forgetting our toys. So when we pursue fruitfulness, we'll get to a place where, amen, automatically, amen, God will make us fruitful in every other areas and we will forget all our toys. Amen. Physical, every other. Amen. Finally, I believe so. Amen. I want to talk about Ephraim now. Now, when God crossed his hand, we are talking about the son now. By the crossing of hand, he made Ephraim the first. When Moses was talking about Ephraim, was blessing Joseph, the blessing of Joseph. Let me read it. Deuteronomy 33, verse 17. He said the 10,000 of Ephraim and the 1,000 of Manasseh. That means by the setting of Ephraim before Manasseh, he made him 10 times better. Did you get what I just said? 33 verse 17. This is the blessing that Moses, the man of God, gave to the tribe of Joseph. We don't want to read the old two so that we can redeem the time. Then he said, his glory, that is the glory of Joseph. It's like the firstling of his bullock. His horns are like the horns of unicorn. With them he shall push the people to the ends of the earth. And they are the 10,000 of Ephraim and the 10,000 of fruitfulness and the 1,000 of forgetting all their toys. Now, what I'm trying to establish is that he gave Ephraim a 10 times advantage over Manasseh. So when Manasseh becomes 1,000, Ephraim will become 10,000. When Manasseh becomes 1,000,000, Ephraim will become. So Manasseh will always be following Ephraim. But you know something? Even though Ephraim has such a glorious, privileged, honorable calling and election, he did not make his calling and election sure. Thank you, man. Amen. Let's read that. Hosea 4:17. What a glorious calling. What a noble upgrade. What a privilege. Without any work. He didn't do anything. He got it on the plate of his father's blessing and his grandfather's. The only thing he needs to do now is to do what? Make the most of it. So that he can abide and abound. Let there be none amongst us like Esau, who despised his birthright. Hosea. Ephraim is joined to others, let him alone. Instead of making his calling and election sure, he went after idols. He went after covetousness. He has it made. Do you know how I know that he didn't know the God of his fathers? If he knew the God of his fathers, he wouldn't go after idols. So he got the blessing, but he did not go ahead to know the God of his fathers. He frustrated the grace of God. We will not frustrate the grace of God. He wasted it. Amen. By the time we get to Revelation, when there was a roll call of the tribes, in the end of the book, Ephraim was not there. The person that had the... Yes, sir. That's the person that had the most noble calling among the sons of. He was 10 times better than all of them. Even Reuben. Because it's... Lord have mercy. Okay, let's read Revelation so that I can round up. Revelation 4, 8. Wow. We want to look at the roll call in the tribes. At the 7 verse 4 to 8. Is it what? Chapter 7. Yeah. And I had the number of them which were sealed. And there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. So they are mentioning the tribes, have you? The first tribe, they mentioned. Of the tribe of Judah, 1. Reuben, 2. Gad, 3. Asher, 4. Naphtali, 5. Manasseh, 6. Simeon, 7. Levi, 8. Issachar, 9. Zebulun, 10. Joseph, 11, sir. Then Benjamin, 12. Where is Ephraim? Manasseh, they were. The one that seems to be shortchanged. But because he took time to know the God of his fathers, he entered the roll call. Someone said, there is hope for me. Hello? Where was Ephraim? He has been joined to idols. Yes, he brought so that Joseph for Ephraim. Yes, Joseph. Yes, he still had the two soldiers. God will have mercy. Yes, there's another tribe that's not there. Another mercy for another day. Dan is not there too. We will talk about that some other time. But the most important thing is that we must make our calling and election sure. We must give it all diligence. We must feel all idolatry. We must flee all covetousness. We must flee all worldliness, all fornication. We must strive to know the God of our fathers. And serve Him with a perfect heart, with a willing heart. Amen. And give all diligence to make our calling and election sure. Then we have an abundant entrance into everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Whoa! Whoa! Give the Lord a super clap offering. Hallelujah. What a word. You may be seated. What a word. Talk about present truth. Everybody say Joseph. Ephraim and Manasseh. Turn to neighbor, say, you're an end time Joseph. And you're bringing forth Ephraim and Manasseh in your life. Fruitfulness, and that fruitfulness will make you forget your afflictions, your tribulations that you have to go through to enter the kingdom. Hallelujah. I want to amplify some very important points God has used Pastor Ibrahim to bring across to us this evening. This is one of the most important lessons you are going to learn.
The first point I want to make and emphasize is the importance of generational blessings. Many of us do not realize that a lot of things we're enjoying in our lives because of our fathers. We're ignorant of this fact, both physical fathers as well as spiritual fathers, but more importantly, spiritual fathers. And I'm glad that God used Brother Ibrahim to bring this out, in particular Israel. You go to Israel today, the average Israeli doesn't know God. They're not even Orthodox Jews. They don't even believe in, you know, they all believe, some of them are atheists. They don't believe in God. Yet you see them in technology, in science, in every area of human endeavor. You find the Jews excelling everywhere. But they don't realize that it's not because they are brilliant. It's not because they are better. And sadly, some of them think because they are better than other people. But it's not because of that. The Bible says they are blessed for their father's sake. It's a great principle. They are blessed for their father. There is something, like Pastor Ibrahim brought out, about you as a person being faithful to God. Being faithful to your father so that you don't end up like Ham. Another message for another day. And being faithful to the people around you, to your brethren, that secures the blessing upon your generations. And many times to the third, fourth generation. And we see this in history. We see it in Israel. We see it in England. The people in England, they don't go to church. Most of the churches are being sold. And because we've got museums and they are being sold to mosques and things like that. But England is still enjoying till today the ripples of the spiritual blessings of people like John Wesley. And people like, you know, many of the spiritual fathers who, these were the people who fought even before John Wesley was born. You know, Tyndale and others who made sure that the Bible was translated into the common language and began to preach the Bible. They were killed. They were burnt at the stake. I remember there was a man called, I think it's Tyndale, T-Y-N-A-D-L-E. Do you understand? This is in 1300s. He was one of the first people to say they have to get the Bible, you know, into the common language, you know, and he began to talk to them about, you know, reading the Bible and all that. He was burnt at the stake. They burnt him. And as he was burning, you know what he said? He said, "Oh God, open the eyes of the King of England." And God did not forget that prayer. Less than 200 years later, the King James Bible. And the same king who burnt, it wasn't the King James who burnt him. The king at that time was the one that burnt him. But the same King James, the same institution, the Institute of the Kingship, was the one that now made it a decree that everybody must have, they must read the Bible in every church every Sunday. That's where we get everything we see in the Anglican Church today. You know, they will read the Gospels, they will read the Collect, I've forgotten all the things they call it. You know, they will read the Gospel, they will read the Epistle, they will read the, you know, they read every single part. That's where we get this order, the liturgical order in the Anglican Church. It was instituted from then, but it was, those were the blessings. And then, of course, people like John Wesley came along and all the great revivals. The Industrial Revolution in particular came on the wings of the Wesley Revival. That was what catapulted England to become the most powerful nation in the world. And most of the great scientific discoveries came through England. America is just a colony, praise the Lord. The Americans don't like to hear that, but it's the truth. No, it's the truth. You know, all people just took it to America, that's all. It's English people. The majority of the founding fathers were English. And they took it from America. Sorry, they took it from England. Then the founding fathers themselves, when they got to America, they did what Pastor Ibrahim said, they did not forget the God of their fathers. And they served that God faithfully.
Somebody said this about history. They said that, you know, there were two sets of people who went on expeditions, you know, in those days. The English and the Spanish. The Spanish went looking for gold and found nothing. The English went looking for God and found gold. That is the difference between the destinies of North and South America. You can see it even up till now. Ah, the blessings of fathers are so important. So when you are doing anything, always think, what am I giving to my grandchildren? What am I giving to my children? When you want to sin, remember your children. How is this going to affect my generations? It's not just about you, folk. Think beyond your nose. So it's very important, this truth about generational blessings. And you see it again in Germany. Even Germany, in spite of the fact that people like Adolf Hitler came up, you know, that initial thing that Martin Luther did. That's why, look at the countries, the most powerful country in Europe today is Germany. After England, it's Germany. It's not accidental. It's not accidental. There's something about generational blessings. And I was reading, writing this down. Mommy was looking at what I was writing down. You know, even here in Nigeria, in Africa, in it, to a small degree, do you know, and I don't say this as a tribalist or anything, it just happens to be a fact. Do you know one of the reasons why the Yoruba tribe, of the tribes in Nigeria, you know, are some of the most enlightened and all of that, you know, because of Ajayi Crowther. The first Bible that was translated into an African language was in Yoruba. He became the first bishop in 1854. Nothing is accidental. I know God has blessed the other tribes, so don't misunderstand me. But you was, there is just something about the light. There's something about generational blessings. This man was taken as a slave. Then, you know, he came, you know, they brought him back. And then he learned how to read and write. And then he went to England, you know, and they became the first bishop. And he didn't stop there. He said, I must translate this thing into our language. And that it is that light that makes a difference. I'm not done yet. So, understand the importance of generational blessings. And for this reason, make this a sacred law in your heart. Never dishonor your fathers. Never honor your father, especially the spiritual. Because that's the link. It's God who's going to bless you, but he's going to do it through the fathers. Very, very important. Look at what happened to Ham. His disrespect for his father, although I don't agree with what Noah did, but the effect was there. The effect was there. I remember that story, you know. He saw his father and then he went to tell his brothers. You know, he could have seen his father, not told anybody, and went to cover the father. That story will not be in the Bible today. He could have got into, look at my daddy. Then he wouldn't even say anything to his brothers. His brothers wouldn't even know what happened. Cover your father's home, that he may be well with you. Then I noted another thing here that's of great, great importance. He said, know the God of our fathers so that, watch this, we can enjoy not only the physical blessings that come from the fathers, but more importantly, to inherit and keep the spiritual legacy. The story of Ephraim is instructive. Ephraim was blessed before Manasseh, you know, 10 times like we've been shown, you know, and all that. But Ephraim lost it. Now, the physical blessings, Ephraim got it. But the spiritual inheritance, the one that lasts forever, he lost it. Solomon got the physical blessings of being the son of David. But the spiritual inheritance that he should have gotten, he lost it. And there's a trap here. My wife preached about this many years ago, called the prosperity trap. Automatically, if your father is good, you will be blessed materially. Never allow the material blessing to become a god. And that's what happened to Ephraim. Ephraim is joined to his idols. But what is idolatry? Covetousness. What brings covetousness? Things. So there is, it's like a two-edged sword. Simply because your fathers are blessed, you will be blessed. But if you allow those blessings to get to you so that they take the place of God in your heart and you do not know the God of your father, you will enjoy the blessing, but you will lose your inheritance. You will not lose your inheritance in Jesus' name. That is a great lesson. And we can see it being played out today. England and America have enjoyed the physical blessings of their fathers, but many of them are losing their inheritance. The spiritual inheritance. Not all of them. Thank God there is a remnant that's faithful to God. But many of them have lost their... They don't even know the God of their fathers. And the spiritual inheritance, even though they are physically and materially blessed because of their fathers, the more important thing. That is why it is not enough to get the blessings of the fathers, the material and physical blessings that automatically come. Because you are, it says a good man's seed is blessed after him. It's blessed, you know. Once your fathers are good, people in America and England today, they have no clue. They are enjoying the people in Israel. They don't know God. Yet all the blessings they're enjoying, the intellectual blessings, they're enjoying the physical blessings, they're enjoying the material blessings. They don't know where those things are coming from. But alas, alas, so many of them are losing their spiritual inheritance. And sadly, and I say this with some degree of gravity, some of them will go to hell, enjoy the physical blessing on earth, but die and go to hell. Because they never got to know the God of their fathers. So, our lesson today, it's very, very clear that we are blessed by the faithfulness of our spiritual fathers to God. But once we get that blessing, we should leverage it. We should not indulge in it. Enjoy it. Use it to get to know the God. I don't really want to. Give me that thing again. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Thank you. Everybody read it with me. Say, and thou Solomon. He's not talking to Solomon, he's talking to you. He's talking to me. Hello? And thou, Solomon. Am I talking to anybody here tonight? And thou, Solomon. And thou, Kayode. And thou, Tunde. And thou, Larry. And thou, Solomon. You know, when you start reading the Bible like it is talking to you, then you are getting what God actually intended for you. Because it is written to you. For you, it is written of you in the volume of the book. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. I could say that today to the scripture pastor. You know, you are my children, spiritual children. But do you know my God? Know the God of thy father. I didn't hear you. But not only that, serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. God is talking to every single one of us tonight as individuals. Yeah, you enjoy blessing, you enjoy covering. You go out, you go and work, you get a good job, you do a contract, you get blessed, the money comes. It's not you. The blessings of your fathers. For the Lord, he's telling you the reason why. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thought. Why did he say this? It means God is constantly checking your motives. He's constantly looking into your heart to find out, you know, where he said, with a willing mind, he's looking at your inclination. Is this guy just for the ride? Or does he really want to serve me in his heart? Is this one, what kind of son is this one? Is this one just wants to enjoy the blessing, but he's not interested in me? That's why he knows the imaginations. He knows the thoughts. God is always, he's very interested in what is going on inside our hearts. And he's constantly x-raying it, if you can use that expression. He's constantly checking whether that motivation remains pure or not. And it's very interesting. I'm going to close, you know, saying this, and then mommy's going to share something. You know, say something very, very important here. Let me finish this. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Why would God say that to Solomon? He had already started seeing those tendencies in his heart. He had already, even as early as that time, God had already begun to see those tendencies. So it was a warning. Oh, you're beginning to like this gold more than me. You're beginning to like these women more than me. It was still possible to do something then. Sadly, Solomon didn't do anything about it. And he just went downhill. You know, the very blessing God gave him because of David was the very same thing that was his Waterloo, if I can use that expression. And that's why it says he will look, he checks the imaginations of the heart. Everything God gives you, he gave you, he said, he gave you the lands of the people that you might serve him. He didn't give it to you so that you will forget him. That's why he keeps warning us. He keeps warning us. He keeps warning us that when you come into the land and you have built goodly houses, you know, he said, remember that you forget not the Lord thy God. For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant upon the earth. Hence this very important injunction. Yes, you are blessed because of your fathers, but get to know the God of your fathers yourself and make your heart perfect. And don't let the blessings that come because of your fathers to you make you run away or make you, you know, isolate yourself from your God. It's very important. Very, very important. Yes, blessings are important. They're good, but blessing is not inheritance. You can be blessed and lose inheritance. It will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Mommy.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Seth. Pastor Ibrahim, thank you for that wonderful word. It's a word from the presence of the Lord. And I want to just say something briefly. This is not unusual because the Bible says when a prophet speaks, let them speak two or three. And I want to start this by looking at Luke chapter 1 and verse 19. See, something happened at the all night yesterday. Not the church one. I have an all night with the pastor's wives. And now I'm beginning to understand the fullness of it. It was amazing. It's really amazing. And And what's happening to us now is this. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and I'm sent to speak unto thee and to show thee this glad tidings. God is sending to us present truth from angels, messengers sent to us, who have stood in the presence of the Lord, and they are speaking to us clearly, precisely, God's message to us. And it is important that we believe this word. See what Zechariah said, and what made Gabriel say what he said. Everybody's saying, why is mommy saying this? I'm coming to it. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. Compared to what Mary said, let's look at what Mary said. Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. Seed. And Mary said, the same angel, two heart attitudes, two reactions, the same angel that stands in the presence of God. Now listen to me. Zechariah should know. He was a priest, old priest, who had stood in the court for years. Mary was just a small virgin. She didn't even understand about the spiritual things so much. She was not a Levi. She was just a young girl, a virgin. She had never entered the holiest. Yes. Not only, I was written in the Bible, not only was Zechariah a priest, Elizabeth was of the descendants of Levi. Oh,
absolutely. Absolutely.
And Mary said, behold the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed, the same angel. Now go back to Luke 1. I want to say something, because something happened. Pastor has spoken to the children. Now I want to speak to the fathers. Because something happened and I didn't understand it fully. But I understood it, but I didn't understand it fully. Now I want to speak to the fathers. Do you know that Joseph is completely, he's not completely free of what happened to Ephraim? He's not without fault for what happened to Ephraim. He's not without fault. Train up a child the way the child would go. And when the child is old, the child will not depart from it. Training a child is not saying what I say. How do you live? What do you set before the children? What are the nuances? What are the examples? What are the secret things that the children see you do? Those are the messages that resound in those children much more than what you say and what they hear in the church, because you are the epistle that they read. Jacob did a good job. Joseph knew the God of his father. He knew the God of his father at a young age. Through it all, he knew the God of his father. Can we say the same of Joseph? First and foremost, He married an Egyptian. It was not his fault. So he should have stood. Yes! He should have stood to teach both the Egyptian. How do I know? Ruth is a Moabite. And she got to know, say, thy God shall be my God. Yes. Now, brethren, let me say where I'm going to. See, yesterday when we were praying, the Lord made me to realize that God had to discipline Zachariah.
Yes.
So he could not hinder what God wants to do. And what made me come out now was what Pastor Ibrahim and Pastor said. That whatsoever we fathers and parents do have a way of affecting our generations. That was what made me come out. Fathers, not only the children. Fathers, mothers, let's check ourselves.
Amen.
Especially the spiritual. Because whatsoever we do has a lasting effect on our generations. Psalm 16 says, the lions have fallen me on pleasant places because I have a goodly heritage. I found I was praying that God should shut the mouth of the fathers again. Like he did Zacharias. And I was saying, what type of prayer is this? I said, what type of prayer is this? He said, Lord, make them dumb. Let them not be able to speak a word. So that they will not affect the destinies of their children. And I knew it was not me. I said, Lord, make them dumb. So that they will not be able to speak. Because words are spiritual.
Yes.
And he was a man of unbelief. He would have sowed unbelief into the atmosphere. And it would have affected the future of John the Baptist. It would have affected it. He wouldn't, Pastor said, in fact, he would have affected everything.
There was a power that was taking place inside Zechariah's body. So if he started saying the wrong thing, you know, like God changed Abraham's name to Abraham. So it was that power that made Abraham's body and Sarah to get strength to conceive. If Zechariah started saying the wrong thing, it would have neutralized the power of God and the conception would not have taken place.
See? It says, and behold, thou shalt be dumb. Everybody, let's read it together. I didn't write this scripture, so. And I didn't intend to say anything, no. Because I was just sitting down on my chair, jejeli. When the Holy Spirit said, you better get up. He was actually kicking me. Kicking me. I said, what kind of... Pastor, I just wanted to explain that I don't like trouble. I don't like to come and be saying anything. But God is pushing me. And behold, thou shalt be dumb. Thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed. You shall be dumb until these things shall be performed. Because there's a reason, thou believest not my words, we shall be fulfilled in their season. Fathers, this word is to us. Mothers, this word is to us. It happened in our all night yesterday. And I knew it was God. Because I began to pray that prayer of Zacharias. Say, Lord, make the fathers. Here in God, there's no male this way. Father, mother, say, make them dumb. Make us dumb. So that we cannot affect the purposes of our children. Many, many children's destinies. Yes. And how do I know? Emotions is a horrible thing. Yes, Joseph bowed to his father, but his emotion stood up when he got to his father. And they said he was wroth. If you read it in that place, there was a place where he said he was angry. He was angry. He was trying to correct his father. There was a place, I know this part of the Bible. Then he was wroth. Which verse is it? Bring it out for me. So that people can know that mommy is not mommy trying to preach a hard gospel. Me, I don't even care how you say it. Because if God hates me, I would prefer to be. See, Genesis 48:17. It's good for people to read these things. The Bible says, and when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. Read it in Amplified. Now, before we go to Amplified, remember that he knew. That's why he took time to arrange the children properly. Because Jacob had already said Ephraim first before Manasseh. Said it with his mouth. He said, perhaps by adventure, maybe this man is going senile. Let me arrange. So he knows that the right hand is the right hand of authority. So he put Manasseh in that position. Say, Papa, he let me correct him. Maybe he's sinner. So at least it's his hands I know and his mouth for blessings. So he put, that was why the man led by God had to cross his hands. Emotions has no place in the things of God. When Joseph saw, no, to move it. When Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on Ephraim's head, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to move it to Manasseh's head. Next verse. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. 19. And his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He shall also become a people. And he shall, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his shield shall become a multitude of nations. Now see the plan of God outlined. Great plan for Ephraim. Great plan. That's why I always tell you, it's not about talent, so it's about attitudes. See the great plan. I say, who's tell you? It's not about talent. So give me somebody who has the right attitude. He may not have the talent. He will make it. He will make it. Manasseh seemed like the forgotten one, the challenger, just like us in Africa. Just like us in Africa, beyond the rivers, we look like the forgotten ones. We look like the despised ones. Poro Santa. But now, see God, what he's doing for us. He's crossing us over. And look at Revelation. We are the ones that are appearing there.
What a word.
And you know something? That's just one thing I want to say to us. It's important. It's important. Zechariah was a priest. After his order, he did not train himself to believe. Unbelief. And he could not do so much work there because of their unbelief. That is why Gabriel said to him, I am the angel that stands in his presence. Now, do you not know if I appeared to you? Have I appeared to you before? I said, this man has no fear. Before he spoils what God wants to do, be done. It was the angel of the discipline. Be done. Except we don't want to be done. See, what God explained to me, he said, so many things will be done. He said, Lord, mercy. He said, yes, it will be done. Because they will be done for a season. Until the word is performed. But they will be done. So that they will not hinder the manifest. And even you should be praying it if you know you don't want to cross over. it's the best one is to cross over. Cross over to a place where you believe. So you are not dumb. You are enjoying the fullness. You are like Mary. Be it unto me according to thy word. Behold the handmaiden of the Lord. Who touched Mary? And hers was even more difficult. Someone who had never known a man. Where was it written that she would conceive and bear forth? There was no precedence. After all, Zachariah knew Elizabeth. They said they went home. I read the Bible. They went home and did the like, the manner of, just like, I read it about Abraham and Sarah. But we didn't hear that about Mary. Because it was the Holy Ghost that overshadowed her. And the power of the Most High shall overshadow her. Brethren, parents, this is a serious word to us. It looks very hard, but it's a word. And I come as the angel that stands in his presence. Let us be careful. Let our, you know how we do that kingdom prayer? We pray it in kingdom prayer. Our biases, prejudices, infirmities will not hinder our children's destinies and the choice of life partners. Every day, because God set us ahead to pray for this so that we will not be dumb. We don't have to be dumb. We're already praying it. We don't have a choice about what God wants to do. God, the cloud of glory is moving. Let's move in the cloud. Amen.
Stand and pray in a minute. As Mommy was speaking, this thought came to me. And it's about Solomon. I don't want to lose it. It's a fleeting thought. You know, this kind of revelation just go. If you don't capture it, it can go. You know, as she was talking about Zechariah and Mary, the difference between Zechariah and Mary was the attitude of the heart. Zechariah had knowledge. He was a priest. He's been a priest for years. Mary has never entered where Zechariah goes. Zechariah used to he was not ministering in the outer court. He was not ministering in the outer court. Everybody goes to the outer court. Mary and everybody, they can come to the outer court. He was inside the holy of, he was in the, not holy of holies, but in the holy place. Where the shewbread was and everything, and the altar of incense. It was there that Gabriel appeared to him. But his heart, attitude was not right. He had not been exercising himself properly. So when the angel brought the word and said, "You will be a, you know, your glad tidings." After all, he had the Bible. He had Abraham and Sarah as a precedent, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So immediately the angel spoke to him and said, "Ah, God is going to do for us what He did for Abraham and Sarah." He didn't take much faith to believe what Gabriel said, because there was something in scripture he could refer to. But in case of Mary, she was a virgin. So how would this thing be? He said, "The Holy Ghost will do it." He said, "Okay, here I am. Be it unto me according unto thy word." The heart. Then this thought, I have never thought of it before in my life. It came to me today. Because Mommy was talking about fathers and sons and the way we bring up our children and everything, you know, on those something. David had a problem with his children. A greater man of God as David was, the children were a problem. Absalom, Amon, Adonijah, there were others. And finally Solomon. I've never thought of this before. It hit me like a ton of bricks. And this is why we need to do three things just before I say what I'm about to say. We need to pray that Christ be formed. then we need to live the life before our children. Don't be a hypocrite. It doesn't matter what you say. What you do will seep out. You can say all the right things. If you yourself are not a practitioner of what you are saying, that spiritual influence will not go into the heart of your children. And then after prayer, example, then we gotta give instruction, and then we now train. You try and make them, you know, practice what you've told them to do. That's the way to bring up children. Now here it is. He said Solomon was the best of all his children. I said, and see what happened with Solomon. He said, what would have happened if it had been Absalom? That thought has never occurred to me. Of all of why God sees the heart. Of all of Solomon's children, the eyes of the Lord was running to and fro to see which is going to be the best out of all these boys. And even the best, see what happened with him. Thank God, at least, you know, imagine if it had been Adonijah. That thought has never occurred to me before. He said, I, the Lord, I look upon the heart. He said, make sure you're praying for your children. Make sure you're not a hypocrite. You can say one thing, children pick it. Good prayer, good example, good instruction, and then train. The word train, I was saying this to some of my pastors recently, I noticed they don't beat their children. When our children were young, my wife and I were very hard on our children. I was telling some of my parents, I was rebuking them. I said, I don't see you people as hard on your children as we were hard on our own children. You have a tendency to, you know, like mom was saying, emotions and all of that. I'm not saying you need to beat your children all the time, but what I'm saying is that you need to make your children understand that this is how these things are. You need to do this, put it to them. And when their hearts are wrong, bring it out, show it to them. This attitude is wrong. Change it, do this, so that the heart will be right. Because they are your legacy. And ultimately what's going to happen, you know, is going to be dependent on the quality of their hearts. Stand to your feet. God will not make us dumb in Jesus' name. And if we don't want to go the right way, God will make us dumb in Jesus' name. So that we will not affect our children. Our prayer is that our children will be better than us. I said our prayer is that our children will be better than us. That's our prayer. We want our children to be better than us. We want our children to start, you know, loving God more than we do. There's always this problem of the generational thing. The fathers suffer like David suffered, like Joseph suffered. You understand? He was in jail, but his children didn't suffer because they were born into wealth. They were born into comfort. David's children didn't suffer. They were born into wealth. They didn't go through a wilderness. That thing is a problem. We want to be blessed. We're blessed. Then our children don't go through the same difficulties we went through. So that becomes a handicap. So we need to go out of our way to instruct them, to discipline them, to say, look, yes, you are blessed and it's good you are blessed. You're not supposed to suffer all things I suffer. But you must know my God the way I know my God. And I will not be impressed with you. I won't beat you, but I will not approve of you. You will not see my favor if you don't get it right with my God. You're doing them a favor when you do that. Now, take it seriously. Like sometimes I go, my wife and I, we're doing some things, you know, my children. Even inheritance, it's not automatic. Oh, they're going to things I'm going to put inside. Certain conditions. If you don't fulfill those conditions, there's something you will not get. And let them know. Everybody's quiet. What's wrong looking at me? One man of God, I was listening to his tape, his message on YouTube or something. I said that. So people, I would think like me. He said he put it inside. He wrote his will. So that he put it inside his will that if his children backslide, they don't get anything. If they stop serving God, he said they will give everything to charity. He said, and even if they serve God, if they don't serve God at a particular level, there's a certain level that you will not, there are certain things you will not get. You know, all there are things, him and his wife, you know, he said there are certain things, he's told his children, he's told that he was sick or something and he got better. But he said he put everything down, you know, and if anybody stops serving God, not a penny will go to them. Touch your heart. Raise your hand. It's not a day for singing. Say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me tonight about Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh, and the importance of generational blessings and the responsibilities of both the fathers and the children to know their God and walk with him with a perfect heart and a willing mind, so that the generational blessings that come will not only abide, but they will increase and they will abound. Oh God, have mercy on me. Let me be a blessing to my generations and not a curse. Help me to live a life so that my children and my children's children and my children's children's children will be blessed. Not only will they be blessed, that they too will come to know the God of their father, so that both me, my children, and my children's children will enjoy both material as well as spiritual blessings and inheritance. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name.
Isaiah 59,
the yes.
Last, yes.
Not out of thy mouth will thy seed. And thy seed. Isaiah 59, the last verse. Oh, kashele mengar tufres. Exactly. As for me. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, who's talking? Say, God is talking. As for me. This is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit, I didn't hear you, that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. That should be your legacy. That's your mission. You make sure that that same word is in your mouth, is inside the mouth of your children, and it's inside the mouth of their own children. One last thing, and I have to say this. Pastor Ibrahim brought it out, but I want to emphasize it and hit it on the head. Never value material and physical blessing above spiritual blessing. That was the day Joseph, while he was in jail, he thought God had forgotten him. But he was prospering in jail. He was being fruitful, so God was still with him. But he didn't value it as much as when he now got out of jail and then everything was now working and all of that. And that's fine. But the important thing is that you must understand that the spiritual is the source of everything. And your priority must be the spiritual. And you must allow your children to value spiritual inheritance above material inheritance. In Jesus' name. Father, we confess our sins. And so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness.
So to reemphasize, the fasting continues. We break tonight, and then tomorrow, Thursday, water throughout. Friday, water throughout. Saturday, water throughout until 6 o'clock. Then you break again at 6 o'clock. And then on Sunday, we will be praying here on Saturday in the morning. Gideon, you know, the early morning prayer. And then Saturday, Sunday. On Thursday and Friday, 5:30 here in church to pray. And then on Saturday in the morning, then you pray until evening, even privately, get yourself ready. Let me tell you something, Brooks. There is no point fasting without praying, number one. Then number two, God is doing a work. There is a work inside your heart. We've been hearing today about generational sins and all of these things. You know, there is a work God is doing. Let that work continue. Let patience have a perfect work. The fasting is not just the fasting, but when you fast, you read the word, you pray, then there is a work inside your heart. There are some things deep inside our heart that cannot come out. They will not come out. Pride, all kinds of wrong attitudes. It's fasting and prayer with the word and the power of the Spirit of God that will excavate. I use that word deliberately. The word excavate, you dig deep. Then you go and you bring the thing out. That's the essence. Because God wants you to carry the glory. So if that work is not done, He can't trust you with it. Lord bless you and keep you. Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gates of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you His salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to him and say, the word of God does not depart out of your mouth, the mouth of your children, and the mouth of your children's children, henceforth forever, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great night.